In one of our issues of Discern magazine from 2021, in an article titled America's Decline, there's this comment. Arnold Toynbee, who wrote A Study of History in 1961, warned of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 19 of them collapsed when they reached the moral state the United States is in now. That was written in 1961. The article goes on to say, imagine what he would say now, six decades later. In the tradition of historian Edward Gibbon, author of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Sir John Glubb also studied the life cycle of empires. This 20th century British soldier, scholar, and author studied and found patterns or stages that govern the rise and fall of historically great empires as diverse as the Roman, Ottoman, and Persian empires. In his 1976 book, The Fate of Empires in Search for Survival, he outlined how empires follow a general pattern as they expand, develop, decline, and eventually collapse. He broke down in broad brushstrokes the sequential development of empires into successive stages of pioneers, conquests, commerce, affluence, intellect, decadence, decline, and collapse. One surprise finding was that the average age of a nation's empire's greatness is 250 years. This average, he writes, has not varied in 3,000 years. Over the last three millennia, every great nation or empire lost its way in an average of a mere 250 years, not necessarily disappearing, but staggering on in a much less dynamic and influential state, never returning to its former greatness. We seem to be watching that happen before our eyes with our own country at this time. And, of course, we are watching signs of prophecy that we read in the scriptures. When it comes to the subject of prophecy, what would you say is probably the biggest question most people ask or want to know? But want to take a stab at that? What do you think? Yes. Steve? When is the end coming? Or another way, when will Christ return? When is the end coming? When will the end be? When will Christ return? Probably, even since the time of Christ's disciples until now, people have asked more often, when? And not so much, why? We're interested in wanting to know when. Christ gave a very direct answer to the question of when in Acts 1. In verses 6 through 8, what was he telling his followers to do with this answer? They wanted to know when. When will you return? When will these things be? When will the end of the age be? So in Acts 1, verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Notice his answer. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How would you summarize what he was telling them to do? What was Christ actually instructing them to do? Just from what you see there, what would you say he was instructing them to do? Any thoughts about that? Because it's an instruction for all of us as well, as it was to them. What do you think? Anybody want to hazard a guess, Steve? Okay, do what? And what was he telling them to do? Exactly. Be a witness to a way of life. Be a witness as you wait for my return. Be a witness to a way of life, a way of living, a way of being, and to what he taught. Be a witness of all of those things. So let me ask you another question. This is just your opinion. Why do you get, or why do we get, very interested in prophecy? Why do sometimes people get almost preoccupied with prophecy? What would be some reasons why we find prophecy so interesting, even to the point that sometimes we could get preoccupied? Any opinions about why do you get interested in prophecy if you get interested in prophecy? Why? Yes, yeah. To know something that somebody else doesn't know. The Bible gives us a great deal of that, doesn't it? In prophecy and in other areas of life. Why else do we get interested in prophecy? Dave? Yes. We like a good mystery, and we're all wired to be pain avoiders. Most definitely. I mean, there are frightening things. We live in an increasingly frightening world that people find painful. And it does that make us ask questions. Jaden? We want to know what's coming. Pretty simple. What's the future going to bring? Anything else? Those are all, things that are on our minds. Fear of in an increasingly frightening world. We want to know what's coming, end time events. We're intrigued by the mystery of the future, the drama, the personalities, all of those things. We'll like to try sometimes just to connect certain current events with prophecy, sometimes to fit our own ideas. And, that kind of sometimes can take us off the path. But, we have interest in those things. And as Dave mentioned, we are kind of concerned about self-preservation. There is an element of that. All of those things enter into prophecy. But in dealing with the subject of prophecy, it's important that we deal with more than just head knowledge, because prophecy is more than charting out names, dates, understanding names, dates, the rise and fall of kingdoms, or as some would call it, breaking the code, finally breaking the code of when and where and how. Prophecy is much more than all of that. People look for those answers. But think about this. Just as God has a heart towards his creation and for his creation, it's important that in addition to head knowledge about prophecy, should be watching, should be reading, we're interested in those things, that we also have a heart towards or about prophecy. Now, what do I mean by having a heart towards prophecy? I've titled this Bible study, To Know Times or Season. But from more than just the point of view of head knowledge, but also our heart. And what I mean by that is prophecy should remind us. I mean, we get very interested in dates and numbers and times, and all of that is fine, but prophecy should remind us that God, the God who owns the past, God owns the present, and God owns the future, that God is actively fulfilling his purpose for his ultimate creation. What is God's ultimate creation? The animal kingdom? Angels? What is God's ultimate creation? Humanity. And God is fulfilling his purpose for his ultimate creation, and prophecy really shows God's love for mankind. We think so often only in terms of destruction and doom and gloom and death, but prophecy reveals God's love for mankind. God has a purpose. We read in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And that purpose is made manifest by a scripture you're all familiar with, John 3, 16 and 17. That God so loved the world that he sent his son to save mankind, not to destroy, but to save mankind. So God has a purpose. John 3, 16 reveals that aspect of his plan. And God also demonstrates that by various promises. Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22, for example. Turn there, Matthew 24, and verses 21 and 22. Speaking about the end time, then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. But unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Nobody would be left alive. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. God has a purpose. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 really shows us that. John 3, 16 shows us his basic plan. His promises, Matthew 24, verse 21 and 22, God is going to save mankind from himself. And then, you know the story in 1 Corinthians 10, how all those things that happened in the Old Testament were for our example. So God provides us examples that teach us also what he's doing and why he's doing what he's doing. Think about this. Even as so much is going on here on the earth, so much activity and back and forth, communication and war and crime and violence and good, so much happening on the earth, there is much more happening in or at God's throne. God the Father and Jesus Christ are hard at work, fulfilling that plan, promises, and purpose. So, in the remainder of this Bible study, how can we approach the subject of prophecy in order to do so with more than just the head, but also from the heart? And I simply have three fairly simple points that can help us to see prophecy not only perhaps the way we most often look at it, but also from this somewhat adjusted point of view. How can we do that? Number one, appreciate that God's revelation concerning prophecy can only be understood with the help of God's Spirit. That understanding what God reveals about prophecy can only really be understood with the help of God's Spirit. We need the help of God's Spirit. More than, we need history, we need calculations, we need numbers, we need dates, we look at those things, but more than anything else, to understand prophecy, we need the help of God's Spirit. Look at Luke 21, verse 36. We often quote this, but how do we apply it? Luke 21, 36. I think it's pretty clear, and we've commented most often on how we apply the first statement in Luke 21, verse 36, where it says, "Watch therefore and pray always. You may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." We watch world news, we watch world events, we watch our own spiritual condition, or ought to be. We watch both of those things. Watch what's happening, watch our own health spiritually, and pray. Pray what? One thing that we can pray for and ought to when it comes to prophecy is that the Holy Spirit will shape our attitudes and guide us with humility as we read and study prophecy, that we have a careful appreciation of what God does choose to reveal in prophecy. He hasn't revealed everything in prophecy, but what he has chosen to reveal, we need the direction of the Holy Spirit to comprehend, to appreciate what he has done. Because watch, for example, can become an obsession or an opportunity. Watch and pray can also be an opportunity to pray, again, for the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. We can get out of balance with prophecy, and people have left God's church and God's truth through the years by getting out of balance with prophecy when things didn't happen in their time frame or what they thought would happen, or when or how. That's why we pray for the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. And I think it's important to appreciate that God grants us enough understanding about prophecy to know that God has a plan and that he will give us full comprehension when he decides that's appropriate. When God says, "Now the time is right to pull the blinders off the eyes, and I'll show them the rest." That's according to God's timing. So God's Spirit will allow us to appreciate what is, let's say, what is doctrine and what is understanding. What's the difference? What I mean by that is the doctrine proclaimed in the scriptures about prophecy is that Jesus Christ is literally going to come back to this earth as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is going to reign on the earth, is going to touch on the Mount of Olives and reign for a thousand-year rule, That is our anchor and understanding of prophecy. That's doctrine. The understanding of events that lead up to that may change from generation to generation as world conditions continue to change. We think we saw certain things. Some people thought they saw certain things at 9/11. World conditions have changed since then. Some people see certain things now. In his wisdom, it seems that God has always allowed each generation of the church to believe that they were living in the end of the age, all the way back to the apostles' time. And you look at this prayer in Revelation 6, verses 9 and 10, I think this encapsulates that thought that God's people have always wondered when and how and have expressed this wanting to know. Revelation 6, verse 9 and 10, the fifth seal. When he opened the altar, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? How long? Every age, all ages of the church express that desire. I think it's important to remember that ultimately prophecy is about relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with other human beings. So, number one, as far as having a heart for prophecy, appreciate that God's revelation concerning prophecy can only be understood with the help of the Holy Spirit. Any other comments or questions to add to that or about that? Let's go to a second point, and that is this: to remember, although we don't know everything, God does about prophecy. Now, again, as I mentioned in the split sermon, God knows everything that there is to know. But he's given us free will. Everything there is to know. Christ said only the Father knows the day and the hour of Christ's return. Although we don't know everything as it relates to prophecy, God does. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, we learn this. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, God inspired Isaiah to write. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God is going to perform his plan according to his will. God has a plan, but the anchor is Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we forget that the anchor of prophecy, and that's what one of the things that make Christ so special, he's not only our Savior, our High Priest, but he is the great Revelator. He himself is called a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:15 tells us that refers to that great prophet or that prophet. And verses 18 and 19 of Deuteronomy 15, that prophet, referring to Christ. The Olivet Prophecy, for example, in Matthew 24, reveals an outline of what would occur between Christ's first and second coming. And prophecy revolves around Christ. The book of Revelation is filled with specific characters and systems. The beast, the false prophet, the mark, the number of the beast, Babylon, Jerusalem, all these things as the pivot point of all prophecy. But really, we need to focus on the greatest personality in the book of Revelation. And that is Jesus Christ. The greatest personality in the book of Revelation. Sometimes get our focus away from him and all we want to know who is this and when is that and how is that going to be. But Christ is the focus. All events stem from Christ and his Father. All the events are fulfilled in prophecy. So, number two, although we don't know everything, God does. And finally, the third point. A proper spirit-led understanding of prophecy and its framework. So to properly understand prophecy and the framework, as we do, we don't understand everything, but we have a framework That allows us to appreciate God's greatness and goodness in what he's doing. It ought to help us appreciate even more the greatness of God and how good God is in what he is doing. And that's why I gave a sermon a couple of years ago about prophecy being a work of love. Yes, there are horrible times ahead to come, and there is a great deal of death and destruction that is going to take place. There are very frightening times, but prophecy ultimately is a work of love. And the framework of prophecy can allow us to appreciate God's greatness and his goodness in what he's doing. Let's read in Acts 3, verses 18 through 21. Looks like we're getting a little bit more of much needed rain. I'm hoping it's falling on my lawn up in Janesville. Don't want to have to cut it, but it needs it. Acts 3, and beginning here in verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God looks at this, these prophecies being fulfilled as times of refreshing. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That's what God is looking for. Forward to. Prophecy is not just doom and gloom, plagues, captivity, death, and destruction. Those things are there. And although that can sometimes dominate our thinking when it comes to prophecy, ultimately, prophecy is about the salvation of all people, far more than a study of charts, graphs, and timelines. Prophecy is really an examination of our hearts. Where are we in praying, watching and praying for thy kingdom to come? That we desire that greatly, as God does. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, beginning in verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. We're told that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth, the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what kind of heart should we have? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look forward to and looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What a relief when righteousness dwells everywhere. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Prophecy is not simply what we study and know, but what we are and how we live, to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our goal. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're reminded of this. We have a caption that we caption 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. We are to have a mind and a heart for prophecy, both. So this third point, a proper spirit-led understanding of prophecy and its framework, allows us to appreciate God's greatness and His goodness. These three points are how we can have a heart toward prophecy, understanding those and reflecting on them. Just a final thought, tried in close to on time, began late, a final thought. In humility, as we deal with the subject of prophecy, as we read and study prophecy, as we talk about it, and we should, I mean, it's good to talk about and what's happening in the world around us, as we pray for God's guidance of the Holy Spirit in understanding it. In humility, save some room in your life, in me, in my life, for God to surprise us. That is, leave some things for God. We should, because when it's all said and done, we can be assured that thy will be done will always outmatch our human expectations. We may have our expectations, but God's will be done will always outmatch those expectations. So let's have some humility in the face of prophecy. Study times and seasons, but let's do so with a frame of mind and attitude that includes having a heart toward prophecy.